right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here alone for another solo podcast. But we will get back to the better or worse previews with John and Chuck very shortly. Some of you contacted us demanding a breakfast in bed apology for some political ads you may have heard on our show. For that, just say we don't pick those pre-recorded ads, and we were also bothered to find out they were on our show, but if you listen to other sports podcasts, you've probably noticed them popping up all over the place. But we have been assured that the political ads have been removed from any future episodes that we have. So if you hear another one, go yell at Blog Talk Radio, because it's their mistake. Anyway, do you guys know about Loot Crate? It's like Fan Essentials, but for geek and gamer gear and collectibles. The October theme is horror. We're talking over 40 years of creepy, campy, bloody icons, putting them in this month's crate. You get items from The Walking Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Halloween. So make sure you head to lootcrate.com/fastbreak and enter the code FASTBREAK to save $3 off your new subscription today. And if you weren't a winner of the Fan Essentials September giveaway, go ahead and write an iTunes review, and we will pick a winner to receive a box of gear for your favorite team from FanEssentials.net in October. And when you order Fan Essentials, make sure you enter the code FBBF and get all the essentials you need. My guest today is the editor of Orlando Magic Daily, a contributor to Hardwood Paroxysm, and the host of the Locked On Magic podcast, Mr. Philip Rossman Reich. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. You know, I don't know when this is airing, but it's Wednesday night, and I am hunkered down and ready for a hurricane.
Oh, yeah. So you're in Central Florida?
I am in Orlando. I'm right in the heart of downtown Orlando, and the lines at the gas station were a little longer than I anticipated this evening, but I think I'm all ready. It's a hurricane. We don't care about hurricanes. It's just a lot of rain.
Just a lot of rain. Yeah, I mean, you're like 70 miles off the coast or something. You're kind of in the middle. You have a slight buffer. Do you have a buffer?
Yeah, we got a slight buffer. Usually by the time hurricanes reach Orlando, they're significantly weakened. So, you know, I think Floridians joke a lot about hurricanes. We do take them seriously. We do, you know, take care of ourselves. I mean, there's a long, you know, traffic coming into Orlando from where I was at today was actually kind of bad, if people having to evacuate the coastal areas. But typically by the time things get to Orlando, it's weakened, it's dissipated a little bit. You know, we'll probably get tropical storm force winds, which is nothing to laugh at, but, you know, it's not, you know, we're prepared for it. We're ready for it. So, you know, we're going to have a little hurricane party tomorrow and get by these next 2 days of wind and rain.
Right. As long as like your internet doesn't go out and you can still watch Netflix, you're good to go.
Yes. Yes. As long as I can get through the rest of Luke Cage before the power goes out, I'll be happy.
Exactly. I was doing an interview the other night and my internet was totally out. Like there was just a Comcast outage and I just sat around like, well, I can't do my interview. I can't watch Netflix. Like, I guess I'll prepare for my, well, what am I going to do? Write like the pen and paper? Like I can't do anything. So I just sat there depressed.
Yeah. And you can't even play 2K, or maybe you can if it's not on the internet, but
yeah,
our power's going to get knocked out.
I'm still playing on like a 6-year-old Xbox. So like, yeah, I'm playing FIFA 12 and they're like, online service no longer supported. I'm like, it's cool.
There is no shame in that. I am a big proponent of buying old video games. They're much cheaper.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely the way to go. Well, hey, before we get too much farther, it's our tradition to talk about breakfast. Did you happen to eat breakfast today?
I had a quick but late breakfast today. Usually when I wake up a little bit later in the day, I'll just go for the tried and true s'mores Pop-Tart.
Oh, wow.
Just something quick to tide me over until lunchtime.
But I mean a daily s'mores. It's almost. I mean, I am a huge sugar person. My co-hosts John and Chuck always make fun of me for how many sweets I eat. But even I don't think I could do a daily s'mores Pop-Tart. Even that's too much for me.
See, like for me, there is no other flavor of Pop-Tart. Like uh-huh. I only eat the s'mores Pop-Tart.
That was a brown sugar frosted cinnamon brown sugar.
That's a good one.
That was my go-to. Yeah.
I one time had a cookie dough Pop-Tart and I was throwing up the entire day. It might have been because of it might have been because I was in Utah and I had altitude sickness, but I like to blame the Pop-Tart. So
man, they probably might have been that low alcohol content. You used to do a higher alcohol content Pop-Tart.
Maybe, who knows?
Well, so it's funny, on our last podcast, we were talking about, I said that we needed to get an Orlando Magic fan / expert on here because I was saying I hate pretty much everything the Magic have done over the last two years. Like I don't really get it. And it's funny because again, you're filling in on kind of last minute notice because again the cable went out and I lost my other interview I was going to do. But we were talking on our last podcast, we were talking about all the Eastern Conference teams and just trying to answer the simple question, did they get better or not? And the three of us were kind of split. I was saying, I don't understand how the pieces fit, so I think they're worse. John was saying, they have more talent, they have Frank Vogel, they're better. Chuck said, I don't understand what the roster means, they're a push, I can't make heads or tails of it. So throwing all that out, backing it up to the last 2 years comment, how do you feel about the last 2 years? Do you feel like they had a direction, or are you kind of frustrated with it as well?
I think both. I think they had a direction and they deviated from it, and then they this summer tried to force a direction on the team, or tried to force an identity on the team to get some short-term results. I thought the way the Magic were building last year, I had them at 35 wins last year. So when they hit 35, I was pretty much saying, you know, they hit my expectations. They improved by 10 wins. Yes, there are problems with the core, but not problems that you need to panic and go crazy over. The only reason I think the Magic kind of went a little nutso is A, they had Scott Skiles as their head coach for the first half of that. And Skiles is a win now, win tomorrow, win yesterday type guy. He's not waiting around for the Magic to let young guys develop. He wants to win immediately, and he plays his rotations that way too. And then they have been out of the playoffs for 4 years. It's the tied for the longest stretch in Magic history that they've missed the playoffs as a franchise. In their 27-year history, the only time they missed the playoffs for 4 years was the first 4 years of the franchise. So this is like expansion territory stuff.
Yeah.
And so the Magic, I think, just became really, really desperate to make the playoffs. And the Skiles hire, I think, was kind of part of that in some ways too. And so when the opportunity came to get Serge Ibaka, when the opportunity came to clear some cap room and kind of shuffle the deck, they took it. For better or for worse, they took it. And I think the Magic's gambit to go for cap room was a huge mistake for them in their rebuild. They could have held on to Tobias Harris and gotten a little bit more. They could have kept Evan Fournier. You know, for all intents and purposes, if you take out maybe fan restlessness or ownership restlessness for not making the playoffs in 4 years, going from 25 to 35 wins is a massive improvement and a big jump for this young team.
Yeah.
Getting from 35 to 41 wins is a much different jump, I think. But they're making progress. They're on the right track. And yes, they had a 2-12 January. They started 19-13, and then the bottom completely fell out. And you need to figure out the reasons why and maybe make some changes there. But I think trading away a young guy like Tobias Harris and getting nothing in return was the absolute wrong move, especially with the free agency summer that was coming up, where everyone had cap room.
Yeah.
And I just think the Magic, you know, got a little antsy and tried to rush their rebuild a little too much. And that was a huge mistake.
Yep. I'll say the Skiles hiring, while we don't fancy ourselves journalists, we're more entertainers. And so we got a lot of mileage out of Scott Skiles.
Oh, yeah.
Coming back to the NBA, Scott Skiles talking about, you know, how he wanted to play with pace. And then we looked at the Magic's roster, and coming off of the 14-15 season, we're like, yeah, they got the backcourt of the future. Like, oh, and they hired a guy who's known for just berating his guards and turning his guards into
it was really funny about that was that it always felt like there was that Skiles would say something really passive aggressive about Elfrid Payton, not ever name Elfrid
Payton,
but say something really passive aggressive about him in a press conference. And then we'd go talk to Elfrid Payton, and Elfrid Payton just wanted nothing to do with the media. Like, he kind of shut everybody out. And his numbers certainly suffered or at least his defensive numbers just fell off a cliff. And it was just like, Elfrid's a good guy. He works hard. I don't mean to suggest or to say that he was definitely pouting or protesting Skiles in any way. but it definitely felt like he was pouting and very unhappy with the situation and how his coach was treating him in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Is it true that Skiles left because he couldn't handle Elfrid Payton's hair?
You know, a lot of people can't handle Elfrid Payton's hair. But I would imagine that Skiles was quite jealous of that beautiful mane and wanted a little bit of it for himself.
There's no question. And so, as you said, so you hated the Tobias Harris trade, which they, again, they got nothing pretty much. Like they fulfilled the jokes that we were making on our podcast. And I think every other podcast was making about how Scott Skiles traded Tobias Harris in Milwaukee. Now he's going to trade him again, probably. And then he did. Then
it's an easy joke to make.
Yeah. We're bottom feeders. We just go for what's right in front of us.
If the low hanging fruit's there, it's still good. It's still fruit. It's still good for you.
Yeah. And so then you package that with the bigger move of getting Ibaka. So what was your first initial reaction to the Ibaka trade?
My first reaction was that it was a good deal. The Magic trade. I mean, I like Victor Oladipo. I think he's a very fine player. I think he's a very good player. The Magic needed him to become an all-star. And coming out of last season, we were asking the same questions about Oladipo that we had before the season began. So plain and simple, Oladipo didn't quite progress to the level that the Magic needed him to. And so they essentially traded him for a player who, while not an all-star in his own right, has an elite skill, fills a gap that the Magic desperately needed. For ever since the Magic got Nikola Vucevic, pretty much we've all said to ourselves, the Magic need a rim-protecting power forward, and there's only like two or three of them in the league. They just got to find a Serge Ibaka somewhere. Well, they got Serge Ibaka.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was getting really excited at the time because I was like, okay, you know, now the Magic are free to move. You know, it feels like I say this about every player on the Magic. I like Nikola Vucevic. I like him a lot, but I don't know if you can win with him as your starting center because his defense is just a huge issue. And so I've always said, you know, you've got a center. And one thing that we know about Magic history is it's very difficult to find a good center. So you don't trade that away just to trade it away. You got to have the replacement in place so that you have that position filled. So now the Magic have Serge Ibaka, a guy who I think can play center in this new NBA to fill that gap, and they can move Vucevic. And I was getting all excited about Aaron Gordon starting at the four, Ibaka starting at the five. That's your future front court. That is a legitimate defensive front court that I think could be very successful for a team. And, you know, I liked the idea of bringing in Ibaka a lot. It was the other moves that I think confused me more about. So why did you do this Ibaka deal if Biyombo was the plan anyway?
So, yeah. All right. So taking it to that. So your initial reaction was positive, which again, for me, my initial reaction was overwhelmingly negative because I still viewed it in the prism of they gave away Tobias Harris. So in my mind, it was like you traded Tobias Harris, Victor Oladipo and a lottery pick for 1 year of Serge Ibaka. And we all like to assume that, yes, hopefully there's an agreement that Ibaka is going to stay, or, you know, the Magic will want him to stay if he plays well. And Ibaka said that he wants to stay. So my initial reaction was all negative in that context. But then I guess once you separate it from, you're like, all right, so now what do we do? And then they have it. I was thinking, all right, so, you know, Aaron Gordon, Ibaka, that's a fun front court. And maybe the pairing with Vucevic is good. So then moving on, you're saying you didn't like the additional, like, free agent acquisitions, the bringing in Biyombo and then bringing in Jeff Green. And it seems like now all the talk is Aaron Gordon's going to be the three. So you're saying that wasn't, you didn't like that part of the team building?
Yes. I mean, that was the part that confused me. Why do you make the Ibaka move knowing that Bismack Biyombo is one of your top targets in free agency? And I think this all goes back again to the Tobias Harris deal. You traded Tobias Harris essentially for cap room. And I, you know, if you just accept the premise that the players you get back for Tobias Harris aren't what you're trading him for. Brandon Jennings wasn't re-signing with the Magic. No. Ersan Ilyasova was going to get cut. I mean, if the Magic didn't trade him before that deadline. If you accept that premise that Tobias Harris was essentially traded for cap space, you got to use that cap space really effectively. And the Magic just kind of doubled down on a skill that they'd already given up a lot of assets for. So now it's essentially Victor Oladipo, Domantas Sabonis, and Tobias Harris for Bismack Biyombo and Serge Ibaka. And that's a front court pairing that, while it's fun to think about what they do defensively, is really challenged offensively. And throws, you know, Aaron Gordon, who's already a huge mystery as far as what he can do potentially as a player, throws his status up in the air. And he believes he's a three. You know, he can do definitely do some things as a three, but I think he is built to be a four in the modern NBA. I mean, regardless of whether he wants to be on the perimeter or down on the block, he doesn't have to be on the block. He can be a guy that goes off on the perimeter or that still works on the perimeter as a four and does all the things that a three does. But as a four, he can use his athleticism to get by the slower fours off the dribble. He can't necessarily do that as a three. So the fit just didn't seem right. And, you know, I think to myself a lot about this Magic team now. They really need a guy on the perimeter who can create his own shot. Yeah. A guy like Tobias Harris.
Right.
Like I think Tobias Harris would be a perfect fit for the 2017 Orlando Magic right now.
Right.
And that's the guy that they traded to create 2017 Orlando Magic.
So has Vogel said, I feel like everything I've read is Vogel talking about Aaron Gordon getting most of his minutes at the three. Has he committed to the starters? Like, is it going to be Vucevic and Ibaka?
He hasn't committed wholeheartedly to the starters yet. I mean, he hasn't had his full roster available to him yet in practice. Aaron Gordon hasn't had a full practice, I think, yet. He may have practiced yesterday in Cleveland, but he sprained his ankle just before camp. Serge Ibaka has been dealing with knee soreness, so he's been out of practice since last Thursday, I believe. And Elfrid Payton missed the first practice, so he's been down a lot of really key players. I don't think he hasn't like firmly committed, this is my starting lineup, but the wide assumption is that yes, it's going to be Ibaka, Vucevic getting the first look with Biombo coming off the bench. But you know, that could obviously change.
Right. So I think one of the things about the Magic where I could maybe start to convince myself that they had a good direction, they're headed in the right direction, is to me, it seems like the team over the last few years, when they haven't been making the playoffs, they haven't really had an identity. You know, that they keep having young potential players, and you keep thinking like, oh, this, they haven't quite coalesced, maybe next year. But then again, the front office will bring in a new coach. Like, we need to win now. I do feel like that with Frank Vogel, an established defensive coach, and then you bring in defensive players, Ibaka and Biombo, it is maybe starting to be like, at the very least this season, we could see an Orlando Magic team with an identity. And that identity might be, it's all like balls to the wall defense and we cannot score, but we're going to make it tough on you, like, to fight it out. So like, do you see it that way? And do you think that's at least a good start for, you know, building it into the future?
That's exactly what I see. I think that was the exact purpose the Magic had in how they built this team and how they've decided to try and get to the playoffs and attack this, you know, this playoff absence that they've had. Rob Hennigan's always said he wants a certain type of team, kind of a versatile defensive minded team. And he's drafted players that fit that mold, but they just haven't been able to squeeze in and turn into that quite yet. And hiring Skiles is certainly kind of a defense first mentality type of hire. Frank Vogel is, you know, kind of the ultimate defense first guy, but, that seems to be the identity they've always wanted and the identity that they know can get them into the playoffs. I think last year, 10 of the top 11 defenses by defensive rating made the NBA playoffs. The only one that didn't was Utah Jazz, and they finished tied for eighth, or game out of eighth,
and they
lost at the end. Yeah, and they lost it at the end with the injuries to Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert, if I'm not mistaken. I think they kind of realized that, you know, if our goal, and this is kind of how I viewed every move the Magic made this summer, because it isn't about 2-3 years down the road, while the Magic, I think, still have some flexibility for that. Every move they made this summer was about, can we make the playoffs in 2017? And so when you look at it through that prism, things begin to make sense because they've at least forced an identity onto this group and have players capable of playing to that identity. And if they are successful in building that identity, the odds are they'll make the playoffs. And if that's the only goal they care about this year, then it's been a good summer.
So would you, as a fan, would you want the goal to be make the playoffs this year, or would you rather it be develop Hezonja and Aaron Gordon and Fournier? Or do you think they're intertwined?
I think I would prefer that they be intertwined, to be honest. I would prefer that. You know, I was kind of banging the drum and I got a lot of pushback from it, of saying, you know, the Magic don't need to make drastic changes to this roster. They need to add a few key veterans to bolster some of the young guys. I think the big thing the Magic were missing from the last 2 years when they kind of began pushing this playoff narrative a little bit more, I think what they were missing was just a veteran in the starting lineup to kind of grab people by the chest and by the shirt collar and say, follow me. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. Channing Frye isn't that guy. And they never really had any other veterans who could kind of grab that attention. Maybe Serge Ibaka is that kind of a player for this team. Adding a guy like him does help the team, does fill a need, does make them ostensibly better from a skill standpoint and from an experience standpoint. This team is a lot more experienced this year than any other year of this rebuild since Dwight Howard was traded. And so I just think the Magic got a little too – if I had a criticism of the Magic summer, it's they got very, very short-sighted very, very, very quickly. They said this would be kind of a methodical rebuild, and all of a sudden it seemed like pressure just boiled over to where they said, we've got to make the playoffs this year. Something's not working. We're ready to pack it in and push our chips in and just go for it, no matter where it takes us.
As an outsider, just as a league pass junkie, I feel like I would rather see this team not be as concerned. I know maybe they have extra concerns like about the fan base and keeping excitement going and that type of thing, ticket sales and all the like. But I would like to see, I want to make sure Mario Hezonja is getting all the touches he needs to fulfill his potential. I want to see Aaron Gordon turn into the best player he can be. And if I'm flipping channels, I don't want to see Jeff Green taking their minutes. Like I don't want to see, whoever else that is in the rotation. Like, some of the veterans like the DJ Augustine and CJ Watson playing and have Elfrid Payton looking all sad, sitting on the bench with his hair all drooped over. Like, so.
Yeah. And I mean, and whenever someone tells me that, I say this: if Elfrid Payton isn't starting at point guard, that means something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. And the team is going to the bottom of the standings anyway.
Yep.
I don't see a scenario where DJ Augustin starts over Elfrid Payton. One of the reasons I like the DJ Augustin signing, contract aside,
right?
One of the reasons I like that signing is Augustin is good enough to test him and challenge him for a starting spot, but not good enough to beat him for it.
Yep.
And because we all know what DJ Augustin's starting point guard looks like.
Right. So my big question with Serge Ibaka, even if he signs on this year, my biggest issue is when he was in Oklahoma City, it was always he was the really good third option. And then when one of those big guys would go down, like when Kevin Durant got hurt a couple years ago, it was like, oh, now Ibaka will step up into that number two role. And his stats were unchanged. He could not like he scored whatever it was, 13 or 14 a game with all the guys playing when it was just him and Russell Westbrook. He still was only scoring 13 points a game. So I feel like he's a good player. He's going to help the Magic this year. But the idea of him being like maybe the go-to or the catalyst that turns things around, and he's talking about like we're going to give him some post touches, we're going to, make him more focal point of the offense. That's where I'm like, I'm not sure this guy can do it. This guy's been in the league a long time. I'm always, I guess, more of a skeptic when it comes to veteran players like learning a new trick or suddenly increasing their scoring.
Yeah, and I think that skepticism is completely warranted because he's never been given that opportunity or he's never taken that opportunity when it's there. I think that's a really fair skepticism to have. And I think that the way this Magic team is constructed, he's not going to have to be the guy every night. I mean, if there's good news, it's that. He doesn't have to be the best player on the floor every night for the Magic. There's going to probably be a night where he, hits kind of stays consistent around that 12, 13 average. And then there's going to be a night where he's just hot or they're feeding him the ball. They like the Magic and he scores 23, 24 points and gets, 10, 11 rebounds and does all the other things that he does. I think that's just kind of the nature of this Magic team. And so if there's a good opportunity for Ibaka to kind of explore if he can expand his game. And yeah, I agree. It's really late in his career to be doing that. this is kind of the team to do it in because they just feel so balanced with their starting lineup where you don't know who's going to be the top scorer. It's going to be a different guy every night, it seems like.
Yeah, that always comes – as a Grizzlies fan, I know that feeling yep. where it's like, yeah, like it's good, but it's also bad because we scored 82 points again, you know, like type of thing. But what's your what's the five-man lineup you're most looking forward to this season?
The five-man lineup I'm probably most looking forward to seeing is – and I hope we see it – Peyton, Fournier, Hezonja, Gordon, Ibaka.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a fun lineup.
I'm getting kind of fired up. I was reading on the Sporting News that Vogel talking about the Ibaka Biombo front court. And I know you guys don't have a perfect three to add with that. But I'm still like, I was getting pretty excited thinking about having those two guys down there. And maybe if Aaron Gordon proves he can do it, like the Aaron Gordon with Fournier and Peyton, that might be fun. Like, it's going to be fun to watch. At the very least, like
it's like, I think the Ringer proposed a death lineup of Fournier, Hezonja, Gordon, Ibaka, Biombo, this kind of anti-death lineup where it's not about how small they can go. It's about how big they can go and still smother you defensively and have some shooters on the floor.
Right. It's fun in theory. Yeah, I would put my remote down and I would settle down and watch that for a little bit. So What is your personal expectation for the season, and what do you think is the team? Do they think they're making the playoffs? They're obviously trying for it. So, like, are they expecting that, and what are you expecting?
I think this team expects that they'll make the playoffs. I really do believe that. You know, judging by what all the guys talk about, certainly the more veterans on the team, they expect to make the playoffs. They wouldn't have signed in Orlando if they didn't believe they could make playoffs. Frank Vogel is a guy who's been in the playoffs 5 out of the 6 years. He's coached in the league as a head coach. The 1 year he didn't was the Paul George injury year, and I think they still almost made the playoffs that year. So the team clearly expects that they'll make the playoffs. I'm a little more skeptical. I have them improving over last year, although it wouldn't surprise me. It seems like every statistical model has them coming in at 36 wins. I have them kind of in that 38 to 42 range. I think they're close to 500, but not quite there. I think I have a big question about their offense still. I don't think there's enough shooting in that starting lineup. And honestly, I think the Nikola Vucevic problem isn't solved. I think that the way the NBA has gone, and one of the reasons Ibaka's defensive numbers have decreased so much, is there are more stretch fours in the league. And pulling Ibaka away from the paint to go cover a stretch four is going to hurt a team's defense and still expose Nikola Vucevic. I don't think we're at the stage where you can have Ibaka cover up for Vucevic and still have an effective defense. You're going to be giving up a lot of corner threes to fours. And so I think ultimately you got to go with Biombo, and in a Biombo Ibaka lineup's not going to score very much, or you got to go with Ibaka at the five at some point. And I'm just a little skeptical of whether that's going to work. I think they'll be good enough to be in the playoff hunt until the end of the season or close to the end of the season. But I think they come up just a little bit short just because they're just going to be too inconsistent. And frankly, the margin for error for this Magic team is so small. They've got to be an elite defense. And I'm not talking – they probably need to be in the top 10. They might need to be top 6, 7 defenses in the league to make the playoffs and achieve their goals. And that's really, really difficult to do even with the talent that they have.
Yeah, I agree. And one of those things about being a top defensive team when you're establishing that culture – is just to have the attitude of not getting discouraged, because there's nights where NBA teams just have it, like where the offenses are on fire and you get trucked and it's not
especially
hanging,
if you
know.
Can't score back at score back. Yeah, and I think the Magic are going to struggle to score.
Yep. And I do. I think they're a very intriguing team. I think they have an opportunity because, like we previewed on our Better or Worse podcast, a lot of the Southeast division might be taking a step back. So maybe there's some extra wins that they could grab. And again, I think so much of it is on the shoulders of that backcourt. Like, can Fournier keep improving, and can Elfrid Payton become a full-time starter where he's not, you know, hurting the team? He's becoming more league average to above average as opposed to below average. Hey, last question. I've heard that Vucevic does not like to be called Vucci Mane. Do you still call him that behind his back?
Some of us do. I am so kind of outside. I'm the whitest person in the world. I don't really listen to rap. So like, I still ask, what is a Drake, as a joke to people.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't know what that's even a reference to. But some people still call him Vucci Mane. thought it was Uchimani for a long time.
Right.
Some people do call him that, but he did tell us, this was a few years ago, he doesn't like being called that. So we stick with Vooch, and mutter to ourselves the sweet nothings that everyone wants to hear.
Right. And I can't pretend I know much about that either. That question was submitted by Chuck, who is our expert on rap and those things.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, Philip, thanks so much for offering your time and stepping in last minute to talk about the Magic and to defend them for us. Can you tell people where they can read your stuff and follow you?
Yeah, best place to read my stuff is on OrlandoMagicDaily.com. That's just about where everything goes. Anything you want to know about the Orlando Magic, that's where you should go. And you can always follow me on Twitter at OMagicDaily. I'm very, very responsive. So if you have more questions or want to yell at me and profess your love of Mario Hezonja to me, that's where you do it. And I will you know, shower you with praises and whisper sweet nothings into your Twitter ears for it.
That's perfect. Hey, I lied. I actually got one more for you.
Okay.
Juwan Howard, Dwight Howard, or Howard the Duck?
I'm going to take Howard Stern.
Howard Stern. That's fair. Howard Stern, final answer. We'll take it. All right. Hey, thanks, Philip, so much. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that was great fun from Philip. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at PhilR². Go ahead and follow us at FastBreakBreak. Send us your questions there. You can like us on Facebook. Follow us on Rabble.tv. Write those iTunes reviews to win some Fan Essentials. All right, thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.